to a special edition of the By The Min MFC podcast. Tonight we are delighted to welcome Motherwell Football Club owner, Mr. Les Hutchison. Les, thank you very much for coming on. It's much appreciated.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I'm hoping you guys are staying warm in sunny Scotland. I'm obviously making a call from Barbados at the moment.
Yeah, you must have watched on in envy as everyone suffered the cold in Aberdeen on Friday night.
Yes, I really miss that temperature and the rain and the wind and everything. Yeah, I really miss it badly.
Well, we'll get straight down to business. We've had a lot of questions via social media and the Motherwell websites. And firstly, I'd like to touch on congratulations in your role at Fir Park and warm welcome to Motherwell Football Club. Has it been quite a whirlwind couple of months in the sense, as supporters, the news kind of broke a bit later than perhaps your involvement began, but now the wheels seem to be firmly in motion?
No, it's not been a whirlwind to me. As you probably know, my history of turning around companies for the last 30 years, it's very similar experience, yeah. Just, no great surprises. When I had a look at the football club before I committed to put my money into it, I found lots of areas where we could make some significant improvements. So really we're just we're working through that in a systematic way. So no great surprises so far. We're getting on with it.
When you arrived at Fir Park, how familiar were you with the football club? I know you've been a local businessman for many, many years. Was it very much as you expected when you walked through these doors?
No, not really, no. There were certain areas of it I was a bit surprised with. You probably know, I used to be a professional player myself and goalkeeper. And I was a bit surprised on the football side, the lack of testing, documentation, you know, player performance, things like that, which I had 30 years ago. So, yeah, I was a bit surprised at some of it. But I'm pleased to say that we have improved significantly in those areas. But you guys are very familiar with it, but the club has, you know, suffered for the last 3 or 4 years and financially, and it's well seen. You know, when you look at the stadium, you look at the staff, they're all multitasking, some great people, you know, doing many jobs, and a lot of people putting in a lot of hours, which frankly I don't believe in. I think we're not in that business. We've got to make sure we run the thing properly and we have the correct systems and processes in place which allow us to run it efficiently. So yeah, there was a few interesting things that did surprise me. Yeah,
I think that's something that's struck quite a lot of the supporters who perhaps don't understand the financial ins and outs of the game, that given the years of great success on the park, not bringing with it a trophy, but top-end finishes consistently, European football consistently at Fir Park as well, that the club were in such a dire financial position. The Welsh Society emails outlined the urgency of the situation and a buyer had to be found. There's so many people with different theories and reasons for this. Have you got your own opinions? I would imagine you certainly do have your own opinions, but where does this problem start? Is this an epidemic within Scottish football, or is it just mismanagement? I don't know if you're able to elaborate on that.
I can't obviously say whether it's across Scottish football, because I don't have any knowledge of other clubs in detail. Although I have spoken at some length to Miss Budge at Hearts, which was rather interesting. But no, I can't speak for other football clubs, obviously. But yeah, I mean, as a business, the basic revenue coming into the club was frankly not adequate. A big chunk of that came from the lack of transfer money, for example, you know, money from the transfer market. I mean, if you look at other clubs, you know, such as Dundee United and so on, who have multi-million pound deals you know, happening on an annual basis. It's taken them some time to get there. That has been a huge part of what we're doing. The second thing that happened was the significant drop-off in attendance that took place after August of last year. The average home gate, and when I talk about home gate, I'm talking about the home stands, not the away stand.
Yeah.
So we now measure the actual home support. And it went down from an average of just over 4,000 at every home game to just over 3,000 since August. So yeah, there's been a decline there. But I think the other part I noticed was the underutilization of the fantastic function suites that are there. And you may have noticed some changes there with the Davy Cooper Suite being open last Saturday and really been very, very well received and so on. So I think it was a combination of things. I mean, I don't like to criticise what went on before because I don't know all the facts. I usually find when I go into a business there's 400 things I don't know. So I'm not being critical. My comments are observations more than being critical. I'm sure there was lots of reasons for what was going on. But, yeah, it was basically just a fundamental lack of revenue, and there was a lack of staff to generate that revenue. For example, there's no, you know, head of, you know, commercial sponsorship, that type of thing. That was Alan's job before, and obviously he moved up to become general manager and was trying to do 10 jobs. So, you know, I mean, I think you have to invest in the resources to get the returns. And clearly the club was starved of cash or with very little cash. Not inevitably, that means the club was in a very, very precarious position. I must emphasise that to all the supporters and those who are interested in Motherwell Football Club. Around the time of my buying the club, it really was in an extremely serious situation. So I would echo what Brian said, that there were very few options open to the club at that point in time.
Hi Les, this is Jay here. I just wanted to pick up on something there. You'd mentioned obviously the sort of the decrease in the home attendances from August. I was just wondering, as someone who's obviously came into the club with sort of a fresh perspective, is there any interest from yourself to sort of get involved with, I suppose, improving the match day experience? It's something we've spoke about quite a lot on the podcast. You know, every so often there is a point of view made, whether it's summer football, whether it's alcohol at football stadiums. But I think the point we constantly make is that the whole match day experience for your average Scottish football fan is pretty poor, at least for the money you're paying. So I was just wondering if there were any sort of ideas or plans or anything of that nature or for yourself to maybe get involved in, you know, revamping the sort of the whole product on offer to fans, whether it's safe standing or alcoholic grounds or whatever it is, or whether that's something you would be more likely to leave to, you know, the likes of Alan Burrows.
Well, I think you guys need to know that I'm involved every single day with the football club. So you're getting my my expertise and business acumen for free. That's what I'm doing on a daily basis. So I'm actually actively involved in all of that. We have what we're trying to do, though, is it's not my club. You know, I'm simply a temporary custodian of the club. The club is yours. It's the fans' club, and it's and I put it to the Well Society for example, and I know that they're a group of those guys are looking at it to see, and they're asking questions about how we can improve it. So yeah, that's absolutely one of many, many things. And I'm quite happy to go into as much detail as you want to go into. But we have, a lot of ideas and a lot of things that are being worked on at the moment. Some of which, as I said, you've seen on Saturday at the Davy Cooper Street. So the last home game. So it was one of the ideas, and we found that there was even we could improve on that. So we're going to work at even improving on that. So there's lots of ideas, Jay, where we can improve the performance of the company or the club financially. I mean, the match day experience is, I mean, that's what people are paying for. So, but it's obviously got to be done, you know, within a budget. But we have to find ways to engage with the people, hence the reason I'm doing this, and encourage them to come along. But as you said, I'm kind of new. I mean, I've been away from Scottish football for quite some time. And I was having a bit of a laugh with my daughter, who's, as you know, is a very, very keen Motherwell supporter. And over the last few home games, I think she's experienced every emotion known to man. And you go to the cinema and you pay once for a horror movie, and then you pay for a romance, and you pay for, you know, other emotional type entertainment, and you can come to Fir Park and get it all in one day. You know, I think personally, having been away for a while and become engaged, I find it absolutely enthralling. And you know, if you do believe in the club and you do, or you're interested in the outcome of a game or whatever, I mean, the experience to me is very enthralling. But enhance it. You probably have also seen we've engaged the trust a bit more, and you've seen the kids on and waving the flags at the start of the game and so on. So we're trying to bring the trust together, the society together, the club together, to see, you know, what we can do to encourage people to re-engage with the club and hopefully make it successful.
Well, no, that's obviously really encouraging. I think it's worth also pointing out that compared to some other clubs in Scotland, Motherwell have actually been pretty good in respect to the matchday experience, in particular sort of relationship with fans. You know, Motherwell fans, when they go to away grounds, are often sort of treated to overzealous, antagonistic steward and that kind of thing, whereas Motherwell have always made quite a big effort, both at home and away fans. So I think it's important to say that from that aspect, Motherwell have been decent so far, but that, like most clubs in Scotland, there's still a few things that they could improve on.
Well, I'm going to bore you with a phrase that I've used many times to the boards, to the manager, to Alan and to others, and that is, I've asked them a question which I'll ask you: what's the biggest room in the house? And the answer is the room for improvement. So we're going to try and improve every single aspect of the club, which I've been involved in every single aspect, from the football side to the finance side to the sales and marketing side, you know, engaging with the society, working with the trust. You may know I've just given £30,000 to the trust last week, which was involved in trying to get some of the young people from the area away from unemployment and guiding them more towards employment. So to me, Motherwell Football Club is more than just what happens on the park on a Saturday. I think it's a great institution. I think the trust is by far one of the best in Scotland in what it does. And I think the supporters, those who engage with the club, should be extremely proud and pleased to be engaged with an organisation that helps so many people.
Hi Les, this is Buster. Thanks very much for taking your time to talk to us as well. I'll ask you about the staff. You mentioned obviously staffing and things like that. How involved and what was the thought process behind the sort of new scouting system we seem to have set up? There seems to be a couple of people being brought in there, and I just want to know what's basically what was happening there.
Oh, it's very simple, Buster. It's what I mentioned earlier. The club for many years had really not had any significant income in the transfer market. And as I said, for the club to break even, which is ultimately what we want, or make a little bit of a profit, that it will have to be much more effective in the transfer market and to raise money there. Now, again, as I mentioned earlier, to get that money, you have to invest to get the returns. That was identified early on. I spoke to Ian at great length about it, and we kind of analysed what was going on, and we felt that that could be significantly improved, and I wanted a very effective scouting network to look at, obviously, across Scotland, look at the Irish market, look at Northern England, with half an eye to the continent, but make sure that we resource it properly and that we can try to get, you know, our hands on some good players at an early stage. Because obviously if we leave it till later, the price goes up. And as you know, we can't be big payers in the transfer market. So the objective is to get out there and to get a financial return. So it's a business decision.
Can I just say, I think I would probably speak for the vast majority of Motherwell fans. It's sort of music to our ears, I think, to hear you talk about be a bit more stubborn, if you like, in the transfer market when it comes to selling our own players, because I think that's been a bugbear for the vast majority of Motherwell fans for years now. We seem to be in a market in Scotland where Hearts, Dundee United, Aberdeen, these kind of clubs automatically put, you know, big transfer fees on their players, or prices on their players, that then obviously start bidding wars, and, you know, they eventually end up selling for players for seven-digit sums, whereas Motherwell, there always seems to be this culture at the club in the recent years that when one of our better players, you know, a team comes in for them, it almost seems as though there's never any negotiation up until now. It almost seems as though as soon as money is offered, we snap it up. So I think I would be pretty confident I'd be speaking for most Motherwell fans when I say that whenever I've heard you say that, that we're going to be, you know, aim to be more stubborn or more competitive in the transfer market. That's definitely something that will please, I would imagine, all Motherwell fans.
Good, but as I said, it's a business decision. The issue that you mentioned about historically is another symptom of being starved of cash. So the club or the directors, frankly, were in very, you know, difficult situation when it came to going into the transfer market. In many occasions, they couldn't afford to say no, and the agents knew that, and the clubs knew that. So, you know, I think they did as well as they could in what was extremely difficult circumstances. But as I said, if the club is going to be self-sustaining, which is one of the prime objectives here, then we're going to have to be more effective. It's not a choice anymore. You know, we're going to have to be much more effective in the transfer market. And everybody in the club knows that now, because I've expressed that extremely strongly. We will be more effective in the transfer market. But we have to invest, as I said. So we've invested in a very comprehensive scouting group. We've brought in the Scout 7 software, which does a lot of analysis for us. We've identified specific types of players that we want. So we're developing a 1 to 2 year strategy here, which historically, the strategy was a month from now, you know, unfortunately, because of the cash situation. So we're in a much better position to actually make some money.
Certainly, we've seen in transfer deadline day the amount of activity at the club, almost unlike any other transfer deadline day the club have had. I would like to kind of go backwards just slightly to the appointment of Ian Barraclough. How much was your involvement in this appointment, and was Ian Barraclough's philosophy of bringing on younger players and signing young talent with the desire of selling them on at a profit, was that something that sold the board and yourself on Barraclough and being the man to take Motherwell forward?
No, that was our philosophy. That wasn't Ian's. When we embarked on the search, I mean, there was many, many, many applicants, and I suggested to the board at the time that what they should do is to shortlist it down to about three, and then I would, become involved in the thing. But I had established some criteria with the board based on this business plan that we're talking about. You know, we have to make money in the transfer market. We have to utilise younger players. We have to, you know, we have to achieve these things. So when the board looked at all of the applicants, they were narrowing it down to a group of guys who could do this for us. The when I interviewed Ian in conjunction, you know, with the chairman and Derek Weir and so on, when we interviewed Ian, I mean, he understood precisely what it was we were trying to do. He was able to articulate how it would be done. He had done it before. He had operated in a tight budget before. He'd been obviously very successful with Sligo. He is extremely professional, very, very thorough. And I mentioned earlier about the conditioning of the players, the reports on players and so on and so forth, which were sadly lacking. He was extremely familiar with that and was very keen to implement that. So I think the chairman at the time, Brian, said he ticked a lot of boxes for us, and I think he did. I think his energy, his enthusiasm, his professionalism, his attention to detail has really just been fantastic from my point of view.
So that being said, there was a run of results at the start of the year where things seemed very precarious, and football fans, notoriously fickle by nature, Motherwell fans absolutely no different. There was some that had the knives out for Ian, even at that early stage. Knowing Motherwell in the past, it's never been a trigger-happy club that would wield the axe on a manager that soon into his tenure. I imagine not much has changed in that regard.
No, not at all. No. I mean, I think, as I said, we're building a business here which is, you know, has had troubles for 3 or 4 years. So this is not going to be fixed in a few short weeks or a few short months. That's just unrealistic, obviously. But what we have done, and you've seen the evidence of it, is the conditioning of the players is significantly better. Now, you'll recall a time when we had 10 first-team players injured all at the same time, which, you know, is unheard of, which made us do two things. One was the January window, where we had to bolster the team. But in parallel with that, you've seen us, you know, we'll be bringing in Gordon Crawford, for example, to take a much more professional look at conditioning of the players. And you will have, I'm sure, read about or heard Ian's reports on the thing that I think we've had one injury in the last month or so, despite the increased hectic pace and toughness of the matches. I think that the work that Gordon is doing, and obviously Adam Stokes and Aileen are involved in it as well, but that is bearing fruit. And can I say that's also a financial agenda? And let me explain why. In the last 12 months or so, the club has spent an estimate of about £140,000 on doctors' bills and operations and so on, because the lack of investment in the front end to stop that and to have proper conditioning and so on. So again, it was clear to us that we should, you know, certainly to me, I mean, I did some of this stuff 30 years ago, but we should be investing in that area to make sure that we look after the players that we've got and make sure that they are, you know, as well trained and as well conditioned as we possibly can. First of all, they can perform better. Secondly, they get fewer injuries. And thirdly, we save money. So it's, again, as you can probably gather, guys, I'm taking a very business look at this to make sure that we achieve the objectives that the society and I agreed at the beginning.
No, I absolutely agree with that. I think for too long, and as fans you feel it as well when there's messages coming out of the club constantly that all isn't well, despite the results being good in the park, you get very, very concerned. And I think there's only so much you can do as fans. Myself and Jay are both Well Society members. Jay and Buster are season ticket holders. It's kind of one of these things that you can only put so much of your own money in, and you're looking afar and thinking, what's going wrong here? So it's nice to hear someone speak with passion and also with great business sense towards your own investment. So I think in a way it's kind of reassuring words more than anything else.
Yeah, yeah. And if I could emphasise, it's not an investment. I'm not making any money on the deal. It's probably going to cost me, I was trying to work it out actually the other day, how much this thing's going to cost me. I think this will cost me personally something like £200,000 that I won't get back. Just so you guys know. So
that was a poor choice of words.
Yeah, it's not an investment at all. It's purely philanthropic, and I'm doing it because the Well Society and therefore the supporters and everybody asked me to get involved. But at the end of the day, it's your football club. If you want it to survive, and it is your decision, all of you. If you want it to survive, I think the chairman has put out a note today that I would encourage everybody, as many people as you can get, to sign up to the Well Society at a minimum of £10 a month. I mean, when you think about that, it's £2.50 a week. It's not a lot. It's a huge piece of history that you've got. It's a fantastic club, been doing great work with the community through the trust. I mean, £2.50 a week, doesn't seem a lot. And I think most people could probably afford that. To retain this bastion of the community and help it thrive and prosper. So I would echo the chairman's view, is that I would ask everybody, if you really do want the club to survive and to grow, then yes, it's £10 a month, go do it. And if you can, get a season ticket. And if you can, pay a bit more.
Yep.
But the rewards of entertainment and self-satisfaction for everybody have been part of that movement. I think it'll be everybody should feel quite rightly proud with that.
Yeah, I think it's something that you've talked about a lot in the past, and it's how disengaged certain elements of our support have become. There's a lot of people, us three guys as a group, know that used to go to the football regularly. They lost a bit of interest and never refound that interest to come back to the football, and it's kind of quite disheartening to see these people who were such loyal supporters drift away from Fir Park. And you see it across the board with a lot of other clubs' home supporters. They're dwindling as well. I think with the exception of Hearts and Scottish football, no one's attendance appears to be on the rise. How do you go about re-engaging with these guys and getting them back into... I like a lot of the things in social media, the match day posters and everything else, but that seemed to me at the people that already go to the games. Is there any plans afoot for initiatives to get these people, because there is a lot of them certainly that aren't going to the football, that are still, would consider themselves Motherwell supporters for certain?
Yeah, but if I may say, Andy, the thing I'm finding a wee bit concerned is that everybody's waiting on somebody else to do something. It's your club. There's about 1,000 Well Society members who have paid money, right? Adults who have paid money. It's your club. You've got 1,000 salesmen out there. You may remember a very early interview that I gave when I took over the club, and I said, I wish I had 1,000 salesmen in my company. I would never need to worry about revenue. So I would ask that it's not me. I mean, I can come up with 1,000 ideas. That ain't the problem. Trust me, that is not a problem at all. And we are trying to hire a new head of, commercial activity at the club. We've already made an offer to somebody. But at the end of the day, it's whether or not you and your colleagues want it to succeed. It's not up to Les Hutchison, I can assure you. There's no lack of ideas or business acumen or anything. But at the end of the day, we need people who care enough to put their money in the pocket, not a lot, to save and help grow, this fantastic institution that helps so many people. So I would encourage the 1,000 or so Well Society adult members, all of the Well Supporters clubs, of which I think there's about 7, I would challenge you guys, Jay, Andy and Buster, I'd ask, challenge you guys, what are you doing? What are you doing? All you need to do is that if every one of you managed to persuade and cajole one of your pals to come back, then this club, I can assure you, would be well on its way to achieving the objective. And they don't have to come to every game. They don't have to. But if you could, if everybody could just get one other person to come along or to join the Welsh Society and pay £10 a month to become engaged, you know, with the club again, and see a lot of the stuff that we're trying to do and are doing. And I think you've already seen that. There's a lot more passion on the football pitch. I think there's a lot more engagement with the trust people before the game. There's a lot more activities for kids, for example, at the Davy Cooper Suite. And I've only been the owner for a matter of a few weeks. So the ideas are not a problem. The problem really is whether the people of the area, particularly former supporters, want it to succeed. Because if they don't come along and you don't do what we're suggesting, then you're going to lose it. So I would just encourage, as much as I'm doing everything I can, which, as you know, is absolutely for free, to try and encourage people. We're certainly doing things, I can assure you, much more professionally, much more focused on the finances of the business. We are prepared to invest in the business. You know, we are adding staff, as you've seen. We're also adding people in the finance department and the new commercial guy. So we're certainly investing. I have already invested monies, as you know, and I've been asked to invest even more money within the next few weeks. And I don't mind doing that, but obviously there's no point in me doing that if you guys don't want it to work. So to be honest with you, you're asking the wrong guy the question.
Can I just pick up on something you said, Sparrow, just at the start there, just to make a pertinent point. You pointed out that we've got friends who've sort of fell away from it or became disinterested. I think the most important thing to recognise is the fact that it's not so much that they've just became disinterested in Motherwell games, it's the fact that they've became interested in other things, you know, like the Brayhead Clan, Glasgow Warriors, these kind of other sporting events that now kind of, I suppose, constitute the match day experience that we should have at the Scottish football games. So you've got people going to Brayhead Clan where they can have a drink. They're probably not going to be treated like criminals by the steward, and they get their entertainment. It's probably not overpriced. So I think it becomes doubly harder to convince people to come back to Fir Park when it's not just that they're not going, it's just that they've found, you know, a better value for their money.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's like any business, though, Jay. You know, every business is competition. Yeah. So yeah, that's just business. But you know, as I said, we've done a lot to try and improve the quality of the product. But yeah, there's lots of things that we can do. But as I said, there's no point in doing all of that if people are not interested. People have to invest. You know, they have to invest their time and their energy and contribute. I mean, don't forget, it's your club. So if you want to change something, all you've got to do is go through the Welsh Society board. The chairman of the Welsh Society is the chairman of the club. So if you've got ideas, if you've got, you know, half a day, a month to help, then you can actually help build what could be you know, a fantastic experience. And as I said, not just what happens on the football field. You know, we would like to broaden the involvement of everybody, even not in match days, like, you know, better use of the function suites. We have I don't know if you've ever been below the South Stand, but we've got some fantastic facilities up there, which I'm sure the supporters never see. So we're going to try and open that up and see how we can engage people. So it's trying to find, as I said, that Motherwell Football Club is more than just what happens on the football park, and the question is, do people want to be part of that? And I hope they do want to be part of that, because I think we could make something very special happen.
See, I just find it slightly frustrating. I know it's easy for us to sit here and we do it on a weekly basis, talking about how things could be improved and everything else. We still all have full time jobs. We go to the games, we're Welsh Society members. I think we've got plenty of ideas. The main gripe about the Welsh Society, and this has been mentioned in the podcast from week one, how do we get involved? Because, to be perfectly honest, with the exception of Brian's bi-weekly statements, we don't really hear very much. We don't have regular updates. There's members online saying that they're not getting the emails and the correspondence. These people are still paying their money. They want to get involved but aren't actually hearing anything from the society. You've got to get a bit of bang for your buck.
Yeah,
when you're spending money like that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely spot on. Now, let me be clear. I've got exactly the same observations, and I have spoken to Brian at some length about that. A bit like what we've done inside the football club is that you actually have to invest to get a return. So I've suggested to Brian and his colleagues that they in fact should employ somebody full time. They should take on, which they have done, taking on two or three part-time people from the University of the West of Scotland, which you may know I'm engaged with them as well. So I think that's been a bit of a teething trouble, if I can put it that way. And it was interesting talking to Anne Budge. Harps went through the same thing. It was rather interesting. They went through the same process of evolving the fan group and the society. I've spoken to Brian about that, that, you know, I suggest that get some full-time staff in and do it properly. You know, get some people who are at the end of the phone who actually do answer emails, that do in fact communicate out by email, which they don't currently do. So, yes, I think like we've done in the various areas of the football club, we have to invest a little bit to get a proper return. And I know Brian and his colleagues are looking seriously at that at the moment. But I think that's true of any organisation. There's a lot of well-meaning people who have a tremendous passion for Motherwell Football Club, but they also have jobs and so on. So I think there's been a wee bit of concern, you know, about the cost of employing somebody. And I've suggested, well, you're not going to achieve your objectives and you sure as hell are not going to get the money that you need unless you do employ somebody. So I think that realisation is now happening and we hope to see a significant improvement in that area.
I would say as well that on the podcast we do say when we're making our points that if anyone from the club wants to get in contact with us and bring these things to the floor, then we'll certainly go up to Fir Park and talk them over there. We've done certain things with the way we were treated at St Mirren towards the end of last year. We've had Brian on, we've had Alan Burrows on, so we're very much hoping an open floor. And the listenership is reasonably good, so we're happy to discuss these things over. It's not that we're sitting in our hands waiting for a white knight to come in and save us. We very much know that we need to work at it as a club and as a fan base, but...
Absolutely. So, yeah, I would just encourage you to get out there and encourage other people to become involved and become engaged. I think you've got to put a wee bit of trust in me. You can do that if you want, but I would suggest you do, because I've got nothing to gain from this. But I would also ask you to trust the extremely hard work of the society board. I mean, they're a tremendous amount of hard-working, well-meaning people. But like inside the football club, they need some guidance and so on, and I'm offering that to them as well. So, and they've been very responsive, I have to be honest, when I've suggested something, because I'm trying to join the dots here. You know, I'm trying to bring the trust together, the society together with the club, and basically make it one and the same. So when you go, for example, we're redoing the website at the moment of the football club. When you go on there, you can connect easily and you will see comments from the society, you'll see promotional stuff and interesting things from the trust. So we're trying to bring these elements together. So the plans are there, they're underway, they're being properly resourced. And hopefully you've seen the beginnings of some of the things we're talking about. But the society, you know, has also got to improve the way that it does things. And I think they all know that. It's just trying to find a way to do it. And I've given them some guidance on that.
Just to sort of bring it back a bit to more of the football side of things as well, Les. Ourselves here, we've been talking, obviously, you mentioned the manager was brought up as well there. There's been very little talk of how long Ian Barakoff's contracted for. Can you shed any light on that?
I'm not sure if I can, to be honest with you. I'm not sure. Legally, I'm not sure if I can or not. But he's not leaving at the end of the season, if that helps you any. I can tell you that. But I'm not sure contractually if I'm allowed to say that. If Ian wants to tell you, then by all means he'll tell you. But I would prefer not to disclose personal information if at all possible.
No, that's fine. And if he's not leaving at the end of the season, that's fine. I think that's just what...
He's not leaving at the end of the season, no.
No, I think that's just what people are wondering, you know, if he was maybe given a short-term contract to see what's happening and see if there's maybe an option or something on it. But that's fair enough. Then if you're saying it's a bit longer than that, then that's fine.
Yes, yes. No, it's not the end of the season. No. As I said, we're trying to build something quite special here. And, yeah, I'm extremely pleased with the... What have been quite dramatic changes on the football side of the club. The energy, the drive, the professionalism that Ian and Stephen have brought to the football club is something that I would expect from a Scottish Premiership club.
See, just keeping it on the football side of things, you talk about the end of the season, the club obviously heavily involved in a relegation battle just now. How much a catastrophe would relegation be to Motherwell Football Club?
It depends what you mean by catastrophe. would it be the end of Motherwell Football Club? The answer to that would be no. I would caveat that by, as I've said before, it's up to you guys. If you still come, if you still do your thing, if you help us, rebuild and hopefully bounce straight back up again, then all will be well. It's not about money, and that's the point. This is not about money. I can put millions of pounds into Motherwell Football Club, but I don't intend to do that. If you guys don't want to make it happen, if the 1,000 adult people in the Well Society don't go and get some other people, if we don't get people coming to games, then what's the point of me putting money into the thing? There's no point whatsoever. So the fear of money it should be taken away. It's whether you want it to succeed or not. And that is up to you guys. If you want it to succeed, then I'm here. There's money here. There's a board here. There's some very professional stuff going on at the club. And can I make a point, if I may? And that is that the debt of gratitude that is owed to Alan Burrows, the general manager of Motherwell Football Club. I mean, he has put an enormous amount of time and effort into this football club, which he cares dearly about. And I would just like to go on record with you and to the other supporters to recognise the extraordinary effort that Alan Burrows has put in over these very, very difficult months since he took over to keep Motherwell Football Club going. And we owe him a huge debt of gratitude.
To be honest with you there as well, Les, I think you know that Alan was on, you know, maybe a month or so ago. He had he was getting a lot of stick basically online. And I think the way he spoke on here basically shut a few people up as well. He's well known to us anyway. We know how much he cares and how much work he puts in. So it's good to see that you recognise that as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and not only that, he's an extremely clever guy. And the club is very lucky to have somebody of Alan's qualities and his determination to make the football club succeed. So we are extremely fortunate. And you as supporters should be, frankly, jumping up and down. Every time you see Alan, you should be giving him an applause and patting him on the back, because honestly, your club would be in dire straits if it wasn't for him.
I think looking at the relegation thing, it's something we've discussed, but we've kind of agreed that it would make absolutely no difference to what division we're in. We're Motherwell Football Club supporters, will go along regardless of whether I'm in the top league or the bottom league. I just sometimes feel that as supporters, though, the supporters don't get the praise they deserve. The loyal ones that go along week after week, the ones that put in the money to the society. And I think it is all well and good saying you've got to get involved, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, but there certainly is a lot of supporters willing and able and ready to come in when required. But I think there is an us and them scenario that still exists despite the Well Society being there. I think that gap needs to be bridged before people can feel that they can just walk up to the club and say, listen, I've got this idea or I've got that idea, because it seems like a bit of a closed shop from time to time.
Oh, it's definitely not that. That's why I'm talking to you. And I'm coming back to Scotland in May, and I've already offered to Brian to meet the Well Society people, supporters, anybody. I'm quite happy to engage with anybody anytime to tell the people what's going on in detail. Because at the end of the day, I'm probably the only one who does know what's actually going on in all areas of the club, because obviously I'm the one driving it. Now, there are subcommittees of the board who are looking at each area in a lot of detail. But at the end of the day, I'm the guy who's trying to drive the thing forward. But I can absolutely assure you, as you've probably taken from this this discussion, there is no them and us. There's us, and that's it. We're all in this boat together, and we're all paddling like hell to try and make it succeed. So I would encourage anybody. The best route to do it is obviously through the society board members, if you have any ideas or thoughts. And if you do know Alan, then don't hesitate, contact Alan, and don't hesitate to contact me if there's if there's some ideas or whatever. Now, again, it will come down to finance and so on, but we are determined to make the thing successful, and there is no them and us. I can guarantee you that.
Les, I would like to thank you on behalf of the podcast team. Thank you very much for your time. It's been very much appreciated, and I'm sure it will make for a very, very interesting listen.
I'm sure it will, and can I just finally thank your guys for your interest in Motherwell Football Club, and particularly I want to know who the guy is that beats the drum, because that's... That's fantastic, that what goes on with the supporters group, and just fantastic to see that. And I know, and please, please, please don't underestimate the impact that has on the players and the coaching staff and so on. And that's why I'm encouraging as many people to come along during this this battle that we're in at the bottom of the league. The fans can be a huge, huge part in whether we can, we can get it done or not. But there's certainly no lack of effort, passion or anything else inside the club, and I know that we've got people out there beating the drum, and I would like to personally thank them for all their enthusiasm and their effort. And as I said, I would just like to conclude by encouraging others to come along and bring a drum as well, and see if we can encourage the team to do what's necessary.
That's great. You've been listening to the By The Man MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you very much and good night. When I first saw you, something stirred within me. You were standing sulky in the rain. If I could have held you, I would have held you, ripped it up and start again. Rip it up and start again. Rip it up and start again. Things in life that one can't quite express. You know.